Hello, it's me, Mario. Woohoo! Welcome to the VooCast. Let's go.
G'day folks, and welcome to the VooCast, Australia's Nintendo podcast. My name's Oliver Brandt. Angelo is off this week, so with me this week are Michael Concarves.
Hey Tim.
And Luke Henderson.
Get bent, paisanos.
Angelo is here, what?
I was going to say Oceania's Nintendo podcast, and I was like, it's just going to be lost, you know? Angelo's not here.
God.
Anyway, we've got a great episode lined up for you, all about yet another Kirby game coming to Nintendo Switch Online, a surprising revelation from the head of Xbox, and of course a huge discussion about the equally huge Nintendo Direct. But first, let's talk about Ace Attorney.
The Direct also came out 5 seconds after recording our last podcast.
Yeah,
as I mean, is the tradition.
The last episode, I think it called it like the pre-post direct, because it came pre-post direct, because it came just after the last one and just before this one, because we're just so good at timing these things. Anyway, let's talk about Ace Attorney. So this actually wasn't in the direct for whatever reason, because Capcom is weird about things. But there's an Apollo Justice trilogy. It's officially called the Apollo Justice Ace Attorney trilogy. It was announced earlier in the year, but they didn't put a release date to it up until now. So it features remastered versions of Apollo Justice, Dual Destinies, and Spirit of Justice, which those last two are very notably not focused on Apollo, at all. Apollo is in maybe a third of Dual Destinies and probably about the same in Spirit of Justice. But he's in Apollo Justice, so that's good. It has a whole bunch of new features. There's a gallery, a music player, and all of that kind of stuff. It's coming out on January 25th, 2024. Now, I want to point out that there's so many games coming out in around that time. So I saw this tweet from good old Wario64 on Twitter, who posts everything about everything. And there's a 1 week period in 2024, which is from January 25th to the February 2nd, that has Apollo Justice Ace Attorney, Under Night in Birth 2, which is whatever, who cares? Tekken 8, Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, Grandview Fantasy Relink, Persona 3 Reload, and Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, which is also kind of whatever because it looks like shit. But there's just so many games in the space of a week. And I'm not going to play any of it. I'm just going to play Apollo Justice, because, why would I play anything else? Michael...
And the week before is Prince of Persia, so...
Yeah. There's, a week to finish Prince of Persia before Apollo Justice comes out. I think we can do it. Michael, you're a pretty big Ace Attorney fan, I think it's safe to
say. Hell yeah.
How do you feel about this, both about the collection and when it's coming out?
I'm fine with it coming out then, because that's, again, like you said, the only game that I give a shit about in that time period. So that's fine by me. But also, I'm excited for this trilogy. I was just saying on pre-podcast that it would be nice to have every single Ace Attorney game, basically, except Miles Edgeworth, which is forever in the bin for some reason, on Switch, which is really, really cool. And I think the pack itself looks amazing. So many cool extras and... there's that cool green screen feature where you can have all the animations play and they're all chroma keyed, so you can just rip them off your Wii, your Switch, sorry.
What era are you in,
time slightly. I don't know, it's nice. I hope more people get to experience all the amazing Ace Attorney games.
I will say that there is one more game that they need to bring over, and that's Ace Attorney versus Professor Layton.
Oh yes, of course. I forgot about that.
An utterly fantastic game that is, I think, probably the best of both series, honestly. Really, really good. But yeah, no, I'm super keen for this. I'm actually quite a big fan of Dual Destinies compared to most people who absolutely hated it. But I think it's one of those games that, like, is really conceptually sound and just doesn't stick the landing, and I'd rather something be kind of conceptually interesting and fail in execution than, like, be kind of boring but executed perfectly.
Yeah.
Spirit of Justice, I think, is, like, them landing it as well as they could, because they basically did the same thing as Dual Destinies, but a little bit better.
Look at Ghost Trick. Ghost Trick wasn't exactly setting the sales charts on fire, but it did something different, and it gained an audience because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's yeah, there's a lot of games that were sort of that era. Like, there was Ghost Trick and The World Ends With You, which, again, was doing something just, like, totally different, and, yeah, it was great for it. And now all of these games are on the Switch. Like, all of the best games of the DS era, almost all of them, are on the Switch now. We'll come back to one of those, because there's another really fantastic DS game that is coming to Switch soon. Yeah. All we really need now is, like, Spectrobes and Fossil Fighters or whatever it was.
Yeah, Fossil Fighters, that was the name.
Yeah. And then...
Electroplankton.
Electroplankton is a must, yeah. But then we'll have all of the games. Like, it's just, there's no more games. There's no more DS games.
I mean, no. Nintendogs. That's the only other one.
I can't believe that they haven't made a mobile... Like, you have Niantic right there, right? They're making Pikmin Bloom. You could create, like, a walking tracker game that is Nintendogs, and you get to take care of your, like, dog and stuff. Like, I feel like it's just such easy money for Nintendo and for Niantic, and they just...
Let's be honest, if they had made a Nintendogs mobile game instead of Pikmin Bloom, people would have actually cared. Because nobody cares about Pikmin Bloom. It's absolutely pointless.
But if you had to walk
a virtual dog, people would have gone nuts for it.
I swear the only people who regularly play Pikmin Bloom are, like, entirely within our Vooks Discord.
Yeah, legit. People talk about it all the time, and I'm like, there are people playing this game? Like, what?
Yeah.
I'm surprised they think it's an actual game.
I mean, it's basically just, like, a fancy pedometer, right? In the same way that Pokemon Sleep is just, like, a fancy sleep tracking app. Just make a Nintendogs game already. So Ace Attorney, it's pretty good. All of these games have actually been ported to mobile, just talking about mobile. And it seems like these are largely based on those versions, because I know the iOS version had high-res assets for all of these games, so it's based on that. But with the other ones, which were also based on their iOS versions, it does, like, seem like a huge step up.
That just means that we're going to get Resident Evil 4 Remake on Switch soon, because they're bringing it to mobile, and Capcom apparently love porting stuff to mobile and then porting it to Switch. So,
the thing is, like, it's in RE Engine, right? The Resident Evil 4 Remake.
Yeah.
And, like, RE Engine does, like, okay on the Switch, and it's not, like, a big open world game or anything. There's, like, clearly defined sections. I genuinely think they could probably bring RE4 to...
100% could, but they do it via cloud just to be annoying about it.
Just to really stick it to us. So that's January 25. That's exciting. It's good. We're all excited for it. We'll move on to the next one. It's more Nintendo Switch Online stuff.
Surprise!
So, one of the strangest Kirby games to date, I think it's fair to say that, right? It's coming to Nintendo Switch Online next week, or probably this week by the time you listen to it. It's probably out right now. Go play it. So it's Kirby and the Amazing Mirror. So it's a Metroidvania game, kind of. I think it's firmly in the Metroidvania camp. Where you basically just have this one big open map, and then you, like, unlock copy abilities that you can then, like, take to other areas to progress. Just, like, super weird. I don't think it's that great of a game, if I'm being entirely honest. Like, I enjoyed it, because I like Kirby and I like Metroidvanias, but it's okay. As Luke pointed out, there are now 17 Kirby, well, there will be, maybe now, again, if you're listening to this when it's out. There are 17 Kirby games on the Switch, which means there's just 39 left to match the Atelier series, which So many Atelier games. I can't believe that.
Arena this year and they announced a mobile game. There's so many of those things.
What do we think of Kirby and the Amazing Mirror of all games to bring over? Like, it's not Golden Sun.
One day. I like Kirby. I'm always weirded out by this game. Like, this is such a nitpick. I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but why not? Like, why these colors for the Kirby's? Like, that green is the most awful green. I don't know why they chose it. And why red when Kirby is pink? There's no blue. There's only a weird yellow. Like, it's such a weird choice. The game's fine. Whatever.
It is weird. And, like, especially because, like, you would think, like, oh, maybe they'll do, like, anything to help with, like, colorblind accessibility. But, like, no, two of those Kirby's, to me at least, because I'm colorblind, look exactly the same.
I'm thinking maybe it was, like, a GBA screen thing. Because this would have came out on the GBA that, obviously, you know, didn't have a backlight. And maybe it was just blues didn't look good on that screen.
It's entirely possible. As we know that, like, you know, LCDs in general, like, blue are usually, like, kind of weaker in terms of, like, how they display through non-backlit devices. So it could definitely be the case that they decided just, we'll go with red or whatever.
I'm just annoyed, though, that it's another Kirby game. Like, and again, people love Kirby, power to you, but it's like, they already have a few Game Boy games that told us are coming that they've not actually brought out yet. And now they're surprising everyone with a new game and it's just another Kirby game. It's like, at this point, you have to wonder what Nintendo's thinking. Like, come on, give us the games you either promised or give us something fun, not the 17th Kirby game on the platform, because this is getting ridiculous.
I mean, like, I like Kirby. In an ideal world, every Kirby game would be on the Switch.
I mean, give it a month, it probably will be that way.
Look, honestly, as long as we get Epic Yarn, I'm happy, because, like, Epic Yarn is so good.
Will we get Epic Yarn before we get Zelda HDs?
No.
I mean, the original Epic Yarn or the DS Epic Yarn? Which one are we talking here?
I mean, the 3DS Epic Yarn is good. It's got, like, a whole bunch of quality of life stuff that makes it good. The problem is, right, like, they can, like, and downscale Bucci. Those. Yeah, it has Bucci. No, that's, Woolly World, which is a different game. But it's still good. I want Woolly World on Switch as well. Epic Yarn. The problem with that and the other Yarn games as well. So, like, you can downscale those graphics really well, but, like, trying to upscale them is not a fun time. Like, if you, like, played Epic Yarn now at, like, its 480p output and, like, stretch it up to your screen, even if the game's rendering at a high resolution, it still kind of looks, like, blurry and not great. So they basically just have to remake it all anyway, which, you know, maybe they should. I'm happy about this. I'm curious to see, like, to date, like, most of my, like, wow, this was a really good game, or this was a really bad game from, like, the GBA era, which is, like, when I was a child. A lot of that, like, I've been, like, dead on, right? So, like, when, Oracle of Ages came out, and I was like, wow, I remember this being really good. It turned out to be really good. And, like, I don't remember loving Kirby and the Amazing Mirror, so I'm interested to see if I enjoy it now more. But
I mean, a game with amazing in the title wasn't amazing?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a Metroidvania, which I don't think really fits super well with Kirby, but
Let's be honest. Kirby is a bit of a genre slut. Kirby goes everywhere for gaming genres. So
that's true. There's even like a racing game. So
I was literally going to say, I think the only genre he hasn't done is racing, and then I remembered Kirby Air Ride. Yeah. So.
It's. It's another GBA game on Nintendo Switch Online that isn't Golden Sun, which, like, I'm going to, every single time one comes up, I'm going to mention that it's not Golden Sun, because that's, like, literally the only one I care about.
That's why Nintendo haven't put it on there, because they know people are hanging out for that one.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. And it's only the first Golden Sun game that's even confirmed for the service, right? They haven't even, like, mentioned the second one yet. I think the second one is the best of the trilogy, so Yeah. That's how it is. So let's move on to some spicy news. In the last week, I think it was in the last week, I don't know, I report on all these things, so they kind of just like merge together in my brain.
It was the last week. At the time of recording, it was the last week.
Yeah, so in the last week, Microsoft did a bit of an oopsie and accidentally uploaded a whole bunch of like super confidential documents to the US courts page as part of the FTC versus Microsoft case. So basically, like, the general gist of it is, right, there are certain documents that you have to make public as part of a court case. The court will say, hey, these are the ones that we want you to make public, and it's just generally like a transparency thing so that the courts aren't operating as like a black box.
Usually not the ones with a big confidential stamp on them.
Yeah. For whatever reason, somehow there was like a PDF that was just like a normal like redacted document that Microsoft uploaded. And then like people started noticing that it's like 127 megabytes and not just like the 4 kilobytes that it would be for a single text document with redactions. And then it turns out it had like, I think it's like 30 like attachments on it. And those attachments were just highly, highly confidential. Like there was a new Xbox that was like in there, just like pictures and everything. It was like a brand new controller that, you know, is literally just a Switch Pro controller, but
news about Xbox consoles coming to Design Lab. There's so much info.
Yeah. But anyway, one of those things was actually relevant to Nintendo. And it's kind of funny because it was Phil Spencer, who's the head of Xbox gaming at Microsoft, seems to think that Nintendo's future is as a third-party developer. So this actually isn't all that from all that long ago. I think it was like 2019 the email was from, or 2020.
Early 2020 from memory.
Yeah. So like only a few years ago. And basically there was like, they were discussing acquisitions, and obviously this is part of like, you know, the court wanted to know all of the times that, you know, Microsoft has talked about acquisitions. They were discussing acquisitions, and they said that either Steam or Nintendo are like the big ones that they want to get. Both of which are just like never going to happen.
Insane. Like Steam, like Valve is a privately owned company. No one even knows how much money Valve makes. But no. It would be a disgusting amount of money. They have a basic monopoly on the PC gaming market. The fact that Xbox thinks they can just roll in and buy them is just insane.
Yeah. I mean, like, I genuinely, like, because we don't know how much money Steam makes, like, it's entirely possible that like Steam makes more money and has more cash on hand than Microsoft does. Like it's a total possibility.
Well, Steam is now 20 years old, but Valve as a company is another 6 or 7 years older than that, if not longer. Yeah. So
they don't really like think of just the amount of employees from Microsoft to Valve. Like Valve is with like 200 people that work at Valve. Like it's nothing. And they they develop some stuff, but not a lot.
I mean, like, mostly, like, Steam is just like, here's a place, like, that we rarely improve. Like, very rarely improve, and all it does is just, like, fling files from a server. And, like, that's all it does, and it just makes 30% of everything sold on the platform, which is, like, again, the de facto monopoly on PC. So, yeah, it's wild to think that they could do that. Even wilder to think that they could acquire Nintendo. Because, like, first of all... Yeah, go on.
I was just going to say, I just had this, like, this, you know, dystopian vision of Microsoft buying Valve and then forcing everyone from Steam to Windows Store. And I was just
oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Please don't. I tried
Starfield recently, and, like, that whole process was an absolute nightmare.
Sorry, back to Nintendo.
Nintendo, yeah. So, like, first of all, like, acquiring Nintendo is, like, just not really possible. Like, 40% of Nintendo stock is held up in the Japan National Trust Bank, which means that, like, you literally have to buy out the bank in order to buy the stock, which is just never going to happen. And, like, there are super strict laws about, like, foreign companies buying up, like, controlling shares of Japanese companies. Like, you can't just, like, walk on in and be like, hey, here's, like... $100 billion will take over this company now. Like, it would have to be a very hostile takeover, and even then, like, it can't really happen. Anyway, here's what Phil Spencer said in this email, which, like, sorry, I'm going to get to it eventually, but, like, so much of this stuff was, like, why would you say this in an email? Like, so many of the emails that were leaked through this cache is, like, why would you do that, right? Just, like, wait for a meeting, right? It is not that urgent. Because there's, like, a whole bunch of other stuff where they're, like, you know, talking about, you know, executives from other companies and, like, how much money they, like, expect to spend and, like, how risky it is to spend, like, X amount of dollars on this Game Pass game. And it's just, like, so much stuff. Like, you should not be writing this down. This should be in a meeting where there's, like,
I mean, I'm going to spoil it here, but this email that you're going to talk about, in it he mentions about the ZeniMax acquisition, like, a year before that was announced publicly.
Yeah.
Like, if that email had a leak then...
Yeah. But yeah, so the quotes from Phil Spencer, just the relevant ones. It's a whole, like, it's the longest email I think I've ever seen. Where he's just, like, talking shit about, like, buying Nintendo and Steam. Anyway, he says, Nintendo is the prime asset for us in gaming, and today gaming is our most likely path to consumer relevance. And then later on in the email, he ends it with, it's taking a long time for Nintendo to see that their future exists off their own hardware. And then he put a little smiley face at the end of that. Which is just like...
Loop back to one of those quotes? Like, what else... He's just like... What else but gaming is their likely path at Xbox?
Yeah, like, for Xbox. What
like, no shit.
Yeah. I mean, I think they've wanted to do, like, the whole services thing. Because there was a little while where it was like, oh, yeah, Xbox is a service, right? Where it was just, like, games come to us and then we give them to everyone. But, like, obviously that's not, you know, yet. But, yeah, I mean, the head of Xbox saying gaming is our most likely path to consumer relevance. Like, yeah, no shit. That's your whole job.
I will say, though, like, Microsoft as a business, they are, like, you know, as a consumer, you go, oh, yeah, they make Windows. They make Word and Excel. Yeah, cool. But, like, on the business side of things, they power hundreds of companies, you know, many governments around the world. They've got their Azure data centers and, you know.
Yeah, their cloud services are massive.
Yeah, they do so much on the business side of things that most people don't think. It's like when the whole UK, we're blocking your deal thing, and people are like, oh, Microsoft should just pull out of the UK. And it's like you don't realize how little gaming means to Microsoft in compared to the amount of money they make from the government. So in the UK. So yeah, the whole statement is just like, of course, it's the only way people are going to care, because you're not promoting, you're not putting up ads going, Azure data centers for your business of one home. Nobody cares about that.
Yeah.
And like, sorry, like I get what he's trying to say here when it comes to Nintendo, right? Like I totally understand. But I also think like it's hilarious because Nintendo is doing far better than Microsoft right now.
Yeah.
Like a lot of gaming companies are. Like Xbox is not in the greatest position. Barring Game Pass, that's obviously hugely successful for them. But It's just such a long way for Nintendo to ever reach that point, especially after the success of both Wii and the Switch now.
Well, this is the thing, right? This is
so much money in the goddamn bank.
This is like,
yeah, girl.
Yeah. This is like almost three years into the Switch's life, and like at that point, the Switch was still just gigantic, right? At that point, we'd like had like literally three straight years of like best-selling console of the month.
I'm
right?
pretty sure at that point, Switch has sold more consoles than Xbox Series.
Yeah. Oh, easily. Oh, I mean,
yeah. I mean Xbox Series now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the biggest takeaway is this email was like 2 months before Animal Crossing hit.
Yeah. So like, even then, like, yeah, it's. It's weird because like there was this joke tweet about it, and it's like, you know, I get, you know, 30 years of you know, the best IPs in gaming, you get a green box. And it's like that's kind of what like the deal is for Microsoft for Nintendo. Because yeah, it's just like there is nothing that Microsoft can offer Nintendo that Nintendo can't already do. Like they've got gigantic amounts of like cash on hand. They've got
but also,
the development
like,
resources.
I can't imagine what would happen for Nintendo to fail out of the hardware business, say that happens in 20 years, let's say 10 years, 20 years, right? that they would be so bad that they need to become a first party for another company. Like, yeah, their games are iconic. Why would they become a first party for anyone? They can release them multi-platform and just make
a bajillion amount
of dollars.
If, like, let's say, like, Nintendo's hardware business somehow just, like, fails, right? They've released, like, you know, 5 Switches in a row and they're all, like, worse than the Wii U, right?
Switch U comes out, basically.
Yeah. And then they keep failing somehow, which, like, I don't think it's going to happen. But, yeah, let's say that happens, right? And then, like, Pokemon is, like, up for grabs, right? No amount of money is going to, like, rival, like, just putting Pokemon on, like, Steam and the PS7 and the Xbox, whatever, right? Like, they can just make so much bank doing, like, third-party stuff. And then they would probably do that for, like, 3 years, get enough money to get back into the console business, and then it wouldn't matter anyway. Like,
the other thing, though, that, like, if Sega survived,
Nintendo will survive.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, that people keep forgetting now is Nintendo aren't just games anymore. Like, yeah, they still do Hanafuda cards. They've been doing that for 130 years. But they've now got theme parks and movies. The deal that they have with Universal for that stuff gives them a consistent influx of cash, and they don't have to do anything.
Yeah. But that's something, like, Nintendo could, like, literally do nothing for, like, the next 5 years, and they would still make more money than they're expending. Because
I mean, they've probably got games ready to go, you know, for the next 5 years already.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's a weird statement to make at that time point, because, like, that was just such a non... Like, if it was... I wouldn't believe it would even happen in Phil Spencer's lifetime as being CEO... Oh, not CEO. Whatever it is for Xbox. It's just such a wild statement. Like, every time I read it, I'm like, what are you talking about?
I've seen some people on Twitter, like, try to argue that it's like, oh, he wasn't actually talking about buying Nintendo. He was just, like, trying to placate, like, investors by saying, like, oh, yeah, you know, this would be nice, but it's never going to happen. And it's like, no, I mean, he definitely thinks that Nintendo is better off without Nintendo hardware. And, like, it's just... It's just an unhinged take in, like, early 2020 when, like, again, we'd had 3 straight years of, like, the Switch is the best-selling console, like, every single month.
And Nintendo makes money on their hardware, like,
all
their hardware that they've ever sold.
They make money.
And they make 100% of all their game profits. It doesn't get cut with anyone else. Like, it's just such a, like, a literal money printer.
Yeah.
I was going to say, the interesting thing for me in that is the Warner Brothers stuff, because if you remember, whatever the company was called before they got merged in that, you know, like a year after this email, they were looking at offloading the WB Gaming brand for the while.
That was Time Warner, and now they're Warner Discovery.
That's it. Right. And they're just like, that was that whole thing about, oh, you know, who's going to buy them? And it's like, I think Microsoft maybe was put in there, like, oh, Microsoft will, because they were buying a lot of people. So I just wonder now, like, if that ever popped up again, would they buy WB after getting Bethesda and then Activision? That would be an insane buy.
I think it says it in there. Like, as the biggest obstacle in WB is IP ownership. We wouldn't own any of the IP, which hurts the long-term flexibility. And it's 100%
the IP, but they just wouldn't own, you know, the licensed stuff. So the Harry Potter, the DC.
Yeah, but that's where all of WB Games is, like, you know... That's where their money is. Like, that's the value of WB Games, is the fact that they have all these licenses and just at their fingertips. But I mean, they have, like, utterly fantastic developers over at WB Games. So, you know, it would be a huge get on that part. Especially when, like, Microsoft is just, like, not really doing much in the first party space right now. Like, they're just like, oh yeah, Redfall came out and that was supposed to be, like, a big game, and then
God, Redfall.
I said this the other day, but Microsoft have been promoting a heap of stuff for TGS, which is literally wrapping up as we record. And they've got banners up all over the place for Fallout 76, which is a bit of a weird thing. They've been promoting a game about nuclear war in Japan. Elder Scrolls Online is getting a full Japanese dub going forward. Starfield, obviously, and Hi-Fi Rush. 2 games that came out this year, 2 games that have been out for a number of years. The 3rd game that Microsoft or Xbox or Bethesda released this year is Redfall, and there hasn't been a single mention of it at all in anything.
Yeah.
Even when Phil talked about games that they've released this year, he ignored Redfall. It's like, that game is dead.
Has been brought to the back and just shot in the head. Like, it is gone.
Well, see, because, like, about a month ago, there was a statement like somebody asked Phil directly about it. It was like, oh no, we're definitely still working on the 60 FPS patch. And I was like, dude, okay. It's been out for like 5 months at this point. Like if the 60 FPS patch isn't out, it's never coming. Yeah, just, oh, there's just so many things wrong with that game. And like, I really wanted to like it. Like
we talked about it on the podcast. How excited we were about it. And I still remember watching the first gameplay drop. I can't remember what. It was whatever event they had in January.
The developer direct.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I remember talking to you guys about it. I was like, oh, guys, I don't think that looks good.
And then I tried playing Devil's Advocate and being like, maybe it's slow. They slowed it down for the presentation so people don't get confused. No, they didn't do that. It was just a bad game.
No, it is just a bad game. And it's like, I really, really wanted to like it because like the character design is like phenomenal. The concept of just like basically like, you know, multiplayer immersive sim fucking Left 4 Dead with vampires is like, hell yeah, I'm in. And then it's just like, it's just nothing. No. It's just a nothing game.
It is Left 4 Undead.
Yeah. Heyo.
Yeah, I mean, like,
been a better name than Redfall.
So I went to Sydney for on Bethesda's dime when I went to see Redfall. And like they told us so many times when I was there, like this isn't Left 4 Dead. Like, please tell your readers that like this isn't Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, because Left 4 Dead is good.
Yeah. Well, they're just like, oh, we just want to dispel like any, you know, any thoughts that this is like any way similar to Left 4 Dead. And I was like, because this was like just after I'd played it, and I was like, you know, I don't think anyone's gonna get the feeling that this is like Left 4 Dead. Yeah.
Good.
Just what a disappointment, right? Like, I don't know. But hey, they've got Forza Motorsport 8 or whatever. That's
such a fun. It's technically the ninth game in the Forza series. But it's also it's the reboot of the franchise.
Yeah, so
it's just called Forza Motorsport, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did the same with Gran Turismo, didn't they?
They dropped the number of
Gran Turismo. Which is, you know, funny that they both did that at the same time.
Gran Turismo, it still blows my mind how much of a fall from grace that game has had.
Yeah.
It was like the racing sim game. I remember the release of Gran Turismo 3 on PS3. And everyone was so hyped.
That was
for
PS2.
Gran Turismo 3. Which one was on PS3? Gran Turismo 4?
Gran Turismo 4 was PS3. PS3, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, sure, okay. Whatever one was on PS3, GT4. That was everyone was so hyped for that. And I remember people playing it, and I think people just had this realization that it literally is trying to be like an actual simulation. And that's a lot of the time not what people actually want in a racing game. People are like,
That's the thing, right? It's like, people who play racing games, they want to feel like they're really good at real life racing without any of the like minutiae of real life racing. And like there are like actual like racing sims, right? Like Project Cars was one. And like we saw kind of how that went because the first game was like kind of well received, but nobody bought it. So then they made it more arcadey, and then like it just wasn't that good because they still tried to do like the immersive like racing stuff. And then the company collapsed.
Gran Turismo 5.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, it
didn't collapse either. The company got bought out by Codemasters and then EA.
Yeah. But no, yeah, it's a weird one. But they got a successful quote-unquote movie out of it, so... Jesus.
Oh, yeah, that came out, didn't it?
It did, yeah. And so the funny thing is, right, in every region except the US, the movie is officially called Gran Turismo, based on a true story. Like, based on a true story is in the title of the film in everywhere except the US, which is just the dumbest thing. We've gone way off topic, and we are like half an hour into this.
We just rename the book cast to like off-topic cast, because that's all that happens now, which is fun. I enjoy it. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. So let's talk. Let's go into our feature discussion, which is about the Nintendo Direct. So as we alluded to kind of earlier, there was a Direct like literally like 30 seconds after we like finished recording the last episode. So I'm going to go through the for those who can actually see the document in front of me, I'm going to go through the non-bolded stuff first, and then we'll talk about the bolded stuff like line by line.
Okay.
So, so yeah, these are all the things that, were sort of announced and I think are interesting. There's a whole bunch more stuff that I just didn't think was worth mentioning. So there's the Splatoon 3 DLC 2, which looked like Splatoon 3 DLC.
If you enjoy Splatoon, you will enjoy this.
Yeah. So that's out autumn 2024, which is quite a way out compared to what people were expecting. Horizon Chase 2, which is out now. I actually got
solid
a code for that.
Racer.
Yeah. I got a code for that shortly before the direct, and yeah, I mean, I played it on PC and it's good. And apparently it's decent on Switch. There might be a bit of performance issues from what I hear, but you know, it'll get sorted out. They fixed the first one as well, so yeah. Tomb Raider 1, 2, and 3 remastered, which looks quite nice.
Who asked for this?
Plenty of people, sadly. It's one of those things where they should do this.
I don't think people remember what Tomb Raider 1, 2, and 3 are like.
That's the thing, right? It's like, I don't know, I hear people talk about like Tomb Raider 1 and they're like, oh, that was such a good game, so much better than the modern games. And it's like, was it? Like, when was the last time you played Tomb Raider 1? Because, like, I think if you go back and play that, you'll be unpleasantly surprised at how bad that game is.
Are they forcing the tank controls again?
No, well, they're included if you prefer them, but they're doing modern controls as well.
That's at least a smart idea.
And so, modern controls, modern visuals, but at the press of a button, you can go back to the old PS1 look if you prefer it.
I'll put a definite asterisk on the modern visuals there, but sure.
Remastered modern visuals.
Yeah.
It's so weird because it's like, imagine if Tomb Raider was like a late PS2 game instead of like an early PS1 game. And it's like, this is like the weirdest like visual upgrade that I think they've ever done for a game. Super weird. There's Trombone Champ, which was a shadow drop during it. It's absolutely... It's such a good game. And they added, like, new control schemes just for the Switch, so you can, like, wave the Joy-Con up and down to do it, or you can use the IR camera, which no other game uses ever.
In this direct, there was two games that dropped with IR support. And I'm like, what year is it?
I don't know. I was watching a friend play it with the IR camera a couple days ago and just like losing it. It's such a fun game. It's totally silly. And like for anyone who's like, oh, I'm bad at rhythm games, that's good. You're supposed to be bad at Trombone Champ. Like there's no being good at that game.
I've seen this one, you know, because it hit PC a while ago, but I would have never pegged for a Wii Music sequel.
I mean, it is.
How dare you sully Trombone Champ's name?
So, Luigi's Mansion 2 HD, we kind of knew about that previously, but that's coming out in winter 2024, so middle of the year next year. I don't understand why, like, it doesn't really feel like something that should require that much development time.
Right, I thought you meant I don't understand why it's coming out, and I was like, oh, probably because Luigi's Mansion sold quite well.
This one should be in the bolded section, so I'm going to move that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, you do that after I hit play on the video. Thank you very much for that one.
Yeah. Well, you know, video watchers will get a fun little
sneak peek.
So these ones I just put in because I think people are kind of sleeping on these. So there's Bandletale, which is the League of Legends story game, coming out in 2024, and Song of Nunu, which is out on November 1, 2023. Even if you don't like League of Legends, all of the League of Legends story games have been surprisingly amazing.
It looks like the League of Legends like extended universe. It looks really good.
that's essentially what it is. And you know, they're doing a fighting game as well, which looks quite nice. But yeah, they're doing like a whole bunch of stuff with the League of Legends universe, like expanding it out and stuff. And like these basically the League of Legends story games are made by like indie developers. So they've just like hired a bunch of indie devs and said like, hey, you can make a story within the League of Legends universe. And I played the the Echo one, Convergence, I think it was called. Something like, I think it was Convergence. But it was like a sort of Metroidvania, where you had like time bending skills, and it was a phenomenally made game, and a couple of the other ones have been really good as well. So
it was one, and I can't remember the name of it, and I can't remember the genre, but I saw it and I was like, this reminds me of another game entirely. It reminded me of Hyperlight Drifter.
Yeah,
and I was just that's cool.
I think that's the one that I'm talking about, Convergence. I think maybe.
out of the two they showed off in this direct, Song of Nunu, that's made by Tequila Works, and Tequila Works were the folks that did Rhyme, which was a very early Switch port by our own Tantalus Studios down here in Australia. So Tequila Works, you know, they're in Spain and they made it, and it's a beautiful game. The Switch version unfortunately suffers quite badly, but you see that same sort of art style that studio is known for in Song of Nunu. And it just looks like a fun game.
Yeah. And then Bandletail looked like a hell of a lot of fun too. I remember like watching, because I have my Twitter feed open while I watched these things. And just like so many people like got to the end of it. It's like, wow, that was a League of Legends game. And it's like, yeah, they're good. Anyway, we saw more WarioWare Move It. It's more WarioWare. Looks good. Wargroove 2. That's out on November 3rd, 2023. So is WarioWare. I think Wargroove 2 looks all right.
Switch exclusive, looks like, for console.
Yeah.
For now.
I mean, I think it looks like Wargroove, which looks like Advance Wars, which wasn't super great on Switch. So, you know, Wargroove 2, maybe it's better.
The fact that in Wargroove 2 you can make your own cutscenes. So they're doing the same, make your maps and all that stuff again, but now you can actually make cutscenes to tell a story for the map you create, which I think is freaking cool.
People are going to like recreate like literally all of Advance Wars. Just like
they're literally just going to do a whole Advance Wars.
Yeah, just from start to finish, but
in mice instead of the Orange Army or whatever.
Yeah. Dave the Diver, which was like kind of a sleeper hit that came out earlier this year on PC. It's coming October 26, 2023. Really, really, really good game. Take a look at that. The final wave. Mario Kart 8.
The final wave, and I put that in quotes there because, you know.
Until they do more. The final wave of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster Pack DLC.
For the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe
game.
Is there more coming, or is that literally... Sorry, is there more coming in this booster? Or is that literally it?
No, this is the final wave of the
Yeah, sorry, it's the final wave, but is there more content in this booster that is unannounced as of yet?
Oh, yeah. So I've only announced one of the eight tracks.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. But this also has like new characters, a whole bunch of new characters even.
Hmm.
So Pauline is there, I think. What was it, like Diddy Kong? Is he one?
Diddy Kong, Funky Kong, Pauline, and Peachette.
Yeah, Peachette, which is great. I love Peachette. She was my icon on Nintendo Switch for like 5 years.
I do point out, I saw somebody did a TikTok video and I saw it elsewhere. Of the Peachette character being added, and then someone's like, "Oh, you know, that does that mean Bowser will get the Bowsette version?" And they're like, "It's actually not Bowsette, because if Bowser puts it on, it'd be Peachowser or whatever it was." And they just went down this rabbit hole because everyone just calls it that because it's Toadette, but it's not Toadette putting on the crown; it's Bowser. It just became this massive weird thing, and I just laughed the whole way watching it.
Anyway, so that's coming out at some point in the holiday period. Probably November-ish, I would guess. But hard to say.
They did Wave 3 in like the first week of December last year.
I think so it'll be late November or early December, yeah.
Yeah.
Notably, now that they've got, you know, all six waves of the DLC out, Mario Kart Tour is not getting any more content, which kind of just confirms my theory that that Mario Kart Tour was literally just a content farm for DLC. But there's still a few more tracks in Tour that aren't in the booster pack, so I think there'll still be more to come, potentially. So let's talk about the big hitters. So F-Zero is back.
It's back in Pog form.
I mean, basically, I think this is like a monkey pool for like a lot of people.
This is 100% a monkey pool. And so, like, at some point, not a bad monkey pool, but like...
I mean, like, it's nice, you know? It's like, this is F-Zero getting, like, some attention, which yeah. never happens. But yeah, so it's F-Zero 99. It's basically the original F-Zero game, but there's, like, you know, 98 other players on the track instead of, like, 8. So, yeah, it's, I've played a little bit of it. I'm terrible at it. I assume everybody is terrible at it at this stage. But, yeah, it's kind of fun. It's still a monkey paw, though, because it's still F-Zero 99 and not, like, a new game, you know?
I've heard so many people be like, make sure you play F-Zero 99, like, Nintendo's looking at the stats to bring back F-Zero. I'm like, they are not. Like, they are 100% do not give a shit in the slightest.
I mean, if that was true, we'd have had a new 2D Mario game 3 years ago when they put Super Mario 35 up and people loved the hell out of that and then they pulled it.
Yeah, you know, like, oh, people years. Enjoy this game. Better kill it.
Yeah. That's you can never predict what Nintendo's going to do, and anyone who says they know what Nintendo's thinking clearly needs to be, you know, treated by a trained psychiatrist.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it's F-Zero. That's yeah. nice.
It's a fun romp. Hopefully it sticks around.
When Pac-Man 99 is going away, it's either gone at this point or it's about to go.
I think it's like gone now.
One of those weird things. But it's just without going, gone, whatever it happens to be. It's nice to see that, you know, there's still another 99 game there. So they're keeping the value up.
I don't think, like, Pac-Man 99 wasn't popular. Like, I think they really missed what people wanted there.
Well, see, that's the thing, right? After the announcement that it was closing down, I was like, okay, this is going to be like the most amount of people playing Pac-Man 99. And it still took like 5 minutes to find a full lobby. And I was like, well, okay, like, people don't care about this, even though it's just been announced to be shutting down.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, so now we have F-Zero, so that's cool. I'll probably stay up forever, probably. forever.
Why did you say the words?
Yeah. I mean, sorry,
before we move on, you know how we have the Grand Prix for Tetris 99?
Yeah.
They literally need to have Grand Prix for F-Zero 99. It's literally
F-Zero 99. So this one is probably it's probably tied for like the most exciting one for me, and that's another code recollection or recollection, which
I think people were like not really into this during the stream. Maybe I'm wrong. I read the room wrong. People weren't really into it, but I think this is sick. Both these games rule. Like, get in on it.
So I think part of the reason that like another code wasn't like super well received in the direct, at least, was because like it had weirdness around the American release, right?
Well, they only got one of the two games, so
yeah, they got the DS game, and it was like called something weird. It's called Trace Memory.
That's right. It was called Trace Memory.
And then they never got the sequel, which okay, America's weird. Anyway, these are utterly fantastic games. So, one of the things that like. Other people have pointed out, it was like, you know that really amazing puzzle in the Wind Waker sequel, Phantom Hourglass, right, where you have to like, you know, shut the DS to stamp the page. That was in another code first. Like, that's one of the things that another code.
Sorry,
did
but
first.
I'm not snapping my Switch in half to transfer a puzzle.
Somebody mentioned, because people were like, how are they going to do that? Somebody mentioned it could be a really cool idea if they like use the IR camera for that. So like you take off your Joy-Con and then like stamp like you would. I think that's a really clever solution to it, but I don't think Nintendo's going to do that. It'll probably just be like press a button or like put your console into sleep mode and then unsleep it.
Yeah, that won't happen purely because of the light.
Well, true, yeah. But yeah, I'm super, super hyped for this. They're like really touching stories. When I played Another Code on DS, I just like fucking sold.
Can we finish Another Code 1 week before Apollo Justice?
Yeah, it's not like there's anything else coming out a week before Apollo Justice, so you know.
We'll be fine.
Should be fine.
For whatever reason, when that trailer started, I thought it was Lost in Blue. And they're like, oh, DS game. And I'm just like, so Lost in Blue is a survival game? And I just, yep, it just sort of stuck in my head that this was that, and it's like, it's not that. I had to look up the name of it because I forgot it. But yeah, I just saw that and I was like, oh, just a random thing. Eh?
Yeah. But yeah, it's they're really, really wonderful games. I only played like half of the Wii version, the Wii sequel. So I'm really, really keen to see how that turns out. People are like, oh, it's just a remaster, but like, it's not a remaster. It's like a full remake.
It's a remake of these games.
Yeah.
It's yeah, because if you look at like what it looked like on DS, it is absolutely not a remaster. Anyone who like remembers or played it is like super hyped for this. So yeah, definitely. I don't know. Definitely check it out because it's just a phenomenal game, and I think the Switch port is looking really, really nice. Princess. Oh no, Mario versus Donkey Kong. Princess Mario versus Queen Donkey Kong. Yeah, so this is another remake. Yeah, go on.
If you told me that we were getting a Mario vs. Donkey Kong remake before the Zelda HD remakes, would have never bet money on that. My God. It looks cool, though. Like, if you've ever played the games on DS, they're super fun. Fun little puzzle games.
This is a remake of the first one, isn't it?
The GBA one.
Oh, the GBA one. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Which is a sequel
before they made it basically Lemmings.
Yeah. So this is a sequel. Well, the original game, the GBA game, was a sequel to Donkey Kong 94, which, you know, unfortunately, Angelo's not here to tell us.
I was like, are you trying to summon Angelo by mentioning that game?
And it's really good. I don't super care for Mario vs. Donkey Kong's gameplay, just because, like, it's super stressful for me. There's so much going on, and I just can't keep up. My brain just fries trying to figure out what I need to do. But it looks phenomenal, and I'm definitely going to give it another go. Also, I forgot to mention another code. Oh, no, I did mention the release date. Okay, so my brain is currently fried just thinking about Mario vs. Donkey Kong, let alone playing it. Jeez. Mario vs. Donkey Kong is out February 16. That's pretty fun. Princess Peach Showtime. Wow, what a banger, right? I was totally not expecting... This looks sick. Like, I wasn't expecting... Because it's basically like... It's kind of a Kirby game featuring Princess Peach. I said
in our Discord chat while the stream was going on that like I'm really glad that they're making a Princess Peach game and it isn't just like a platformer.
We're crying.
It isn't just like, yeah, you know, just a Mario but light, because that's what they seem to do when it's a woman in a game. Let's make, oh, we'll make it the easy version or whatever. It looks like a really awesome game and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm glad she's finally getting something cool.
Yeah. And it is really nothing like any Mario game ever. As I said, it's closer to Kirby than it is Mario, so it's kind of like a 2D side scroller, but then like you have different costumes. So basically, the story premise is that like Princess Peach is going to the theater, you know, women be theatering.
Oh God.
But yeah, so she's going to the theater, and then like everything goes wrong, and then she has to like save the theater productions. And in order to do that, she has to put on costumes from those productions, and then like, you know, essentially participate in them. So, you know, she turns into a sword fighter and does some sword fighting combat skills and stuff. But then, like, other costumes, like, completely change the gameplay, not just, like, what you can do. Like, not just your skills or anything. So, you know, you put on the Detective Peach outfit, and now you're, like, a detective, and you have to, like, look for clues and solve crime. Or, I don't know if there's crimes, but solve mysteries, at least. And then, like, you put on, like, the Chef Peach outfit, and then you have to, like... you know, do a mini game where you decorate cakes and stuff, and it just look, I don't know, it looks absolutely delightful. And yeah, just everything I could have wanted from a Princess Peach game. And like, it's clear that it's a lower budget game. I don't think anybody is like under the impression that this is like getting the same budget that like Super Mario Odyssey did. But I think for what they're working with, it looks just delightful. Yeah. Anyone else want to talk about Princess Peach?
I will say, because I was watching the trailer, it'll be in the video, watching the trailer while you were talking, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, does this give me more Luigi's Mansion vibes, where it's like, they've taken a character we know and put them in an entirely different type of game? And I'm digging that. Like, I mean, you know, I'm not the biggest Peach character fan because she's not really done anything over the years. But this game's kind of like, okay, maybe I really need to have another look at the character because this game looks really, really cool.
Yeah. And like, she did previously have a game, Super Princess Peach, on the DS, but it was like wildly sexist and kind of shit. So
the only thing I remember from that game is one of her powers,
like I said, is it's just Mario but light.
Yeah. No, that was a terrible game where it's basically like, oh, you know, Peach can't control her emotions because she's a woman, so you use them to fight against bad guys. It's like, oh, Jesus. That's a terrible premise for a game, and it was a pretty terrible game as well. Because fun fact about that game, there are like hidden collectibles all throughout the levels, and you literally cannot finish the game without getting all of those collectibles. And it doesn't tell you that until you're right before the last stage. So yeah, just terrible game design. I can't even remember who made that game. Let's put them on blast.
I will say though, the other thing too about Showtime is the whole thing with the different powers and all that. As I was saying, you in different things, I kept thinking, like, in Mario Odyssey, every time you go to a new kingdom, she was there in a new outfit. I can't help but think, like, because they did all these designs for her to wear different things in those locations, it maybe, intrigued somebody's idea. You know, they gave them a thought about, what if she was wearing this when Mario went here or something? And it's like, that's what spun up this entire concept. It's just because somebody finally got the chance to do something with Peach other than just putting her in either a racing suit for Mario Kart or her standard pink dress.
Yeah. It was Toze, whatever, I don't know how you say that. But the other company that made all like the Dragon Quest Monsters games, which I'm really surprised that they made such a stinker. they co-develop a whole bunch of stuff. Like they co-developed Mario the Origami King. They did most of the development on the Famicom Detective Club remake and all of that, so really surprising that they did something just truly terrible. Alright, move on. We learned a little bit more about the Super Mario RPG remake.
Yeah.
Some massive and, like, extra features. I think there was like an all-out attack thing that's basically just like Persona, but everybody can attack.
Yeah.
In Super Mario RPG, and it looked really nice.
Like, the improved boss battles, whatever they call it, I can't remember what it is. They're replaying bosses, but harder.
Boss Rush.
Yeah, that. Thank you.
I mean, it looks nice. And we also found out afterwards on the, I think it was on the Japanese website. That there's a breezy mode. So, like, if you're just, like, new to RPGs or you don't want to have a difficult time or if you're, like, above the age of, like, 25 and don't have time, you can just chuck breezy mode on and breeze through the game. It's looking good.
You forgot the other thing we learned first, though. The breezy mode we only learned the other day. We learned, like, an hour after the Direct that at any point during the game you can swap back to the original SNES or get a soundtrack.
Yeah, which is great because Yoko Shimomura has done both of them, and she, as we know, is the best composer of the modern age. I mean, like, the Super Nintendo soundtrack is really, really solid. And obviously, Yoko Shimomura has come back to do, like, new arrangements and new orchestrations of the soundtrack, so that's going to be great too. But the fact that you can just, like, switch at any time is really, really good. I'm glad they don't let you switch the graphics because, like, the graphics on the original were rough.
It's one of those, you know, people always talk about games that are designed for CRT and, you know, they're really designed to have that, the filtering and the scan lines and everything. That's definitely one of those games.
They definitely relied on analog signals to, like, really hide a lot of those ugliness. I mean, it continues to look good. I'm a fan of the original, kind of. I think it has a lot of, like, balancing issues and, like, needs a lot of quality of life stuff, and I think this remake is definitely gonna get us there.
I still want to know who's actually developing the remake, because we don't know that yet. It's a mystery.
It is a mystery, and I'm really curious to know who is, because there's a couple people it could be, but then, like, with the next one, it's like, well, you know, who's developing that as well?
My honest bet for Mario RPG is that it's Tokyo RPG Factory.
Yeah, I could see
they,
it.
They haven't made a game in like 4 years, and they used to pump out games like every 18 months. So
that said, like, isn't Tokyo RPG Factory under the Square Enix banner now?
No, they've always been a Square studio. Square started them up to make old school RPGs.
So here's my thing, right? It's like, I feel like if Square Enix were involved in any capacity, they would be talking about it, and they're just not.
Not if it's a Nintendo published thing.
Yeah, but like, even still, right? Is it like, it's hard to say for sure, because like, there have been games that have been like, oh, we don't know who's developing this, and then it's like, and a Namco. And it's like, well, who could have guessed that?
I don't care who's developing it. I'm just saying, I just want to know, because it's, we normally have an idea about who's developing these games. So when we don't, it's like, why are they being so secretive? Maybe it's retro. Maybe this is what they've been working on instead of Metroid Prime 4.
Maybe. That's out November 17, 2023. We already knew that, but good to know that it hasn't like been delayed or anything. This next one, I feel like we're going to argue about a lot.
Here we go.
So there is a remake coming for Paper Mario The Thousand Year Door. We're not 100% sure.
Why do you say it like that, Ali?
We're not 100% sure that it is actually a remake. It might just be a really high quality remaster, but from what I've seen in the comparison shots, like, it, I don't see how it could be anything other than like a proper ground up remake.
They've got reflections on the floor in the opening trailer. It's a remake.
Yeah, I think it's a remake. There's like a lot of stuff that, like, if you were just working with like the original like GameCube version of it, you wouldn't be able to like hack it that much to do that.
No.
Anyway, so they're remaking Paper Mario The Thousand Year Door. I have a couple of thoughts about this. I'll let Michael talk about how much he's excited about it first.
Please, please talk about it. Get all your negativity out of the way, and then I can be hard for it.
Okay, so like, my first thing is that, like, who cares?
My God.
Okay, so like,
I thought you cared. So many goddamn people care.
Here's my thing, right? Is it like, it's the, like, I mean, apart from Sticker Star, is like the worst selling game in the series. And like, yes, it was on GameCube, so you kind of expect that, right? Like, the GameCube sold poorly and its games sold even more poorly. But I just feel like, you know, there's so many more people. Like, the best selling game in the series is Super Paper Mario, right?
I was on Devil's Advocate slightly. I think the same stat you could use for Thousand Year Door selling poorly, you could also use for Super Mario selling well.
Yeah,
because
okay,
it was out
so like,
on Wii.
On the one hand, yeah, but like, isn't the whole point of this to be like kind of a bit like, you know, fan service, right? And like, way more people played Super Paper Mario. So like, if you were trying to please the most amount of fans, surely you would go with Super Paper Mario.
Yeah, yes, I agree with it. If you're going by pure numbers, yes. But way more people give a shit about Thousand Year Door.
So here's my second big point, right? Is it like, why? So here's the thing, right? Like, there exists on the internet HD texture packs for the Thousand Year Door, right?
They're mostly complete, but not 100% complete.
Yeah. You can put those into the game, play it on an emulator, widescreen support, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a totally playable experience. It doesn't feel outdated terribly. Yes. It feels a little bit outdated, but the balance in Thousand Year Door is generally pretty good. There's no like voice acting really that you need to worry about. The soundtrack can be reworked anyway. So like, why is this a ground up remake and not just like an enhanced port with new assets? Right.
Okay, that's a fair question.
So like, I feel like it's a huge waste of development resources to like fully remake this game from the ground up, when like you could do a remaster of it with like redrawn sprites and stuff, and get like 90% of the way there already.
I'm gonna say something controversial, something I don't usually say. Nintendo, for the most part, when they're making games, is they know what they're doing, and they do a very good cost analysis on games, and I clearly think that they think putting the money into this game, if it is fully remade, which we think it is, putting the money into that is definitely worth it for them.
Yeah. I mean, like, see, here's the thing, right? Is that, like, I really love Super Paper Mario. It's easily my favorite game in the Paper Mario series. Yeah. I've spoken about that before. It just, like, it ticks every box for me.
I actually think, for me, just as a side note, I think maybe Paper Mario 64 might be my fave over Thousand Year Door.
I think of the RPG ones, I definitely like the original more than Thousand Year Door. Only because Thousand Year Door has, like, some really annoying backtracking that, like, pisses me off every time I get to it.
Yeah, totally.
And the original just doesn't really have that. But my point was, like, you could get 90% of the way there, right? The people that are, like, super hype about it are still going to buy it regardless of if it's a remaster or a remake. And I think, like, putting it on the shelf, it still looks good as a remaster in, you know, 2023 than it would as a remake, right? So, like, the people that are just going to buy it on a whim aren't going to be swayed because, you know, there's reflections in, you know, the trailer, right? Like, people who buy it on the shelf, like, it doesn't really matter if it looks like a remake or a remaster, it's going to do that. So just, like, yeah. I feel like from, like, a development resources perspective, I feel like remastering this game and, like, you know, Super Paper Mario as well for the same price as this ground up remake would have been, like, better bang for buck, personally. But I can't, like, fault anyone for being excited about it, right? It's still a classic game that isn't available on the Switch currently.
You know, as that crazy science guy from Contact says, why make one when you can make two for twice the price? And that is 100% the best business line I've ever heard in my entire life, because it encapsulates capitalism so perfectly. And I think this is maybe one of those scenarios.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I can't fault anyone for being excited about it, because it is a classic game that, like, has, like, a huge, like, fan following, even if that doesn't directly translate to sales. And I suspect it won't. I don't think it'll outsell the Origami King.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I actually agree. Like, I don't know how well it will actually sell. I hope people's fervent, like, fight to constantly get it remastered actually pays off.
Yeah.
But Origami, like, how much did Origami King sell? Is that above 10?
Like, no, it was definitely not above 10.
I don't even remember.
The numbers in my head is about 3.8, but I...
Yeah, it's something along those lines.
Interesting. Well, I hope it does sell more than Origami King, because it's like, as much as I enjoy the shit out of Origami King, like I said, I played that game in a weekend. Like, I loved it. Like, it... I can only imagine how much better it would have sold if the combat wasn't a complete piece of shit.
Yeah, like, and that's the thing, like, the combat does suck in Origami King, and it's one of those things where, like, I don't know, I thought about this a lot after I played it, and it was like, the reward for doing really well in combat is that you get to play less of the combat, and, like, that's like one of those things where it's like, okay, yay, I don't have to do this as much anymore, and, like, no game should have that as, like, part of the core loop.
And the fact that there's, like, a play this for me button is wild. And, like I said when we talked about it way back in the day, like, the first maybe, I don't know, maybe 10 combats are, like, fine. And you're like, oh, yeah, like, I get it. And then after that, it's just, like, just play the game for me, please. Like, just hurry up. Yeah. This is, like, just not good.
And I did like the puzzly aspects to the boss fights.
The bosses?
Fights were really well done. Just general combat is, like, I don't want to do this. And there was really no reason to, because you just get coins, and it's like, well, you can just get coins out in the world, so, like, what's the point?
100%.
But yeah, I think, I don't know, I don't think it will sell, I think it'll probably sell, like, a couple million, maybe. But, yeah. I mean, like, people, like, you know, go nuts about, you know, Metroid Prime, but then, like, Prime Remastered wasn't, like, setting the sales charts on fire.
No, not at all. But, so, to be like, honest, at the same time, like, Metroid, as we've talked about in the past, especially the Prime series, hasn't really ever sold that fantastically well. But again, it's also on...
I feel like there was, like, the kind of, like, you know, fever around Metroid Prime, and, like, there were so many people talking about, oh, Metroid Prime's amazing, and we all have to get a remaster of Metroid Prime, and we need to play it and buy it, and all of that stuff, and, like... The audience just, like, did not turn up.
Yeah,
and I have a
feeling
the same sort of thing is going to happen with Thousand Year Door.
And it's interesting because the audience didn't turn up, and it's such a fantastic remaster. Like,
yeah,
it is.
It's
as good as you could ever ask for someone to do.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Anyway, Luke, what is your incredibly invalid opinion about what we just discussed?
I'm not a big fan of the Paper Mario series as a whole. Like, I enjoy them, but fair. Once I'm done with them, I'm done with them. To me, though, the series ended after the Wii release, Super Paper Mario. Like, that was the last one. The whole sticker star, color splash bullshit, that just lost, like, the series lost all momentum with those two games. And then Origami King recaptured some of it, but for me, it was more just like the world was worth exploring and the characters were more interesting. Regarding the remake of this one, it's like, you know, if you're excited for it, congratulations. To Ollie's point about who you know, why do this? It's like, why remake another code? You know, why remake any of the games? Like,
the another code is a good game.
That's going to quickly loop back to how great it is that they did a little pun on recollection.
Like, yeah, I think that's very
fantastic. Yeah, anyway.
But I will also, like, I'll argue back the point, like, you know, who's asking for these remasters? Who in the world asked for a complete remake of Famicom Detective Club?
That was wild. I'll give you that one.
On that point, like, I think bringing those games to the West for the first time was, like, kind of a really important part of, like, video game history. Whereas, like,
yes,
you could still get, like, all of the way there, or almost all of the way there, with a remaster or, like, a port of like... Because, like, we know Nintendo does, like, GameCube-era ports really well. Like, Mario Sunshine was, like, quite good. You know, Pikmin 1 and 2 were, like, just up-res, but they were still good. You know, they've done so many of these GameCube and Wii-era games as, like, remasters or you know, enhanced ports.
My point for this sort of stuff is, I don't think it's because, you know, people are chomping at the bit. Again, Nintendo don't listen to what people want. If that was the case, we'd have had the Zelda HDs already. We'd have had the entire Metroid Prime series already, right? We'd have had every single game we possibly could have wanted 6 years ago, right? My thing is, I think Nintendo are using these as a way to train up newer developers, like younger developers, because it's an existing framework. They don't have to come up with new combat systems. They don't have to do any of the things. They can go in, they can fix up the backtracking like we saw them do with Wind Waker HD. They fixed up the god-awful Triforce Shard backtracking quest that the GameCube version had, and they made it much better in the Wii U release. So I think this is what these things are for. Not Metroid Prime, we knew that was done by Iron Galaxy, the same folks that did Diablo 3 on Switch. So, and Skyrim, strangely enough. So we know they, you know, they're not opposed to other people doing it, but I think just for them, the amount of money it takes them to do a remake or a port or a remaster, whatever it happens to be, is far less than it does to build up an entirely new game from scratch. And I think this is a great way for them to get, you know, their newer staff the chance to work on something with meat rather than just being a generic, you know, 4-hour download eShop title that people move on pretty quickly. That's what I think it is. I think that's what they're using this for, it because, as we know, the leaders of the Nintendo developers, you know, Miyamoto and Tezuka and all that, they're not exactly spring chickens anymore. And even the folks that sort of direct report to them, they're in their late 40s, early 50s now. So that's what I think they're doing here. That's my personal thing.
Yeah. I think as well, like, obviously, there's going to be a lot of staff at Nintendo right now dedicated to building up brand new experiences for brand new hardware. And, like, when you don't have to dedicate level designers or combat designers or, you know, artists, the concept artists or anything to, you know, games that are coming out on the Switch, they're kind of freed up to do, you know, a bunch of stuff for, you know, Switch 2 or whatever it's going to be called. And obviously Nintendo will want to come into, like, you know, Switch 2 with as much as possible to, like, actually encourage people to switch over to the new one. I don't think it'll be like the PS5 where there aren't any first-party games in, like, the first year. Or the Xbox Series X, where there aren't any first-party games for the first 4 years.
Ollie with the shade again.
Jesus.
I love the Xbox. I just bought a second Xbox, like, a week ago, and I'm, like, super happy with it. But, yeah, first-party games, not so much. Anyway, yeah, so, like, not having to, like, dedicate these staff to, like, games that are going to sell decently well, and make their money back quite easily on the Switch means that, you know, those developers can go off and do something, you know, new and interesting on the Switch too. So yeah, I think it's, you know, it's definitely like a, like, you know, a business decision more than it is an art decision. And like, that's probably why they have done these cost benefit analyses and, you know, figured out that, you know, remake is going to make them a little bit more money than a remaster.
It'll be interesting to see when it actually releases, because at the moment it's just 2024, question mark.
Yeah.
Well, no, the other thing... winter 2024.
Oh, is it? Okay, cool.
So summer 2024 for the Northern Hemisphere, winter for us.
Yeah, winter for us. Yeah. Okay, I didn't realize.
My other concern was like, if it was going to come out in like February or something, right? Having like two like Mario-focused RPGs like back-to-back would be like kind of like pulling the rug out from both of them, I think. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you look at the thing. If they had a December game, they've got Mario RPG in November, nothing in December, another code in January, Mario v Donkey Kong in February, then Princess Peach in March. We haven't seen them have a run like that in a while. They did it the first like 2 years of the Switch. They were pretty consistent, and then they started doing sort of every alternate month. So it's nice to see them having their cadence back again.
Well, because it kind of feels like, you know, this is like the swan song, right? This is like get everything out in like the last, you know, the last year of the Switch, except Zelda HD ports, which are never coming.
There'll be a day one on Switch 2.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. God. It's going to just be like, oh yeah, Switch 2 launch titles, like, you know, Wind Waker in 4K.
It's kind of interesting that they're not, it's not called, like, Thousand Year Door Remake. Like, yeah, you know, Metroid Prime was Metroid Prime remastered. And then they did it with Advance Wars. It was 1+2 Reboot Camp. The fact that this one, and same with Super Mario RPG. Well, sorry, that's not even called Super Mario RPG. It's called Mario RPG, isn't it? Oh, no, sorry. They dropped the Legend of the Seven Stars bullshit.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Because
that
was an absurdly long name. But yeah, I think the interesting thing is that this is not Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door refolded or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I did have to come up with a word to say there just to annoy Michael.
When I was watching the video cast, you can see how thoroughly unimpressed I am.
But yeah, so like, I mean, again, I don't know. I'll probably play it if I know that it's going to be better than the first time I played it. But we'll see. I'm just
because it'll be in HD.
But it could be in HD already. I don't know. I had like a huge like argument with my coworker about this, and then I just like ended up like posting the 10 hours of jangling keys at him like 3 times when he kept on saying, "Oh, but it's nicer," and I was like, "Okay." But yeah.
Just a
fun little insight into my work life for you all there.
I will point out one thing that we didn't sort of touch on is the Nintendo Museum got a name and a release window.
Oh yeah, cool.
Just because it's interesting, but yeah, so it's officially called the Nintendo Museum and opening next year in Kyoto, which is cool. But at the same time, it's like who's going to go to Kyoto to go look at a wall of old Nintendo consoles? Says the guy's
it's
going
funny
to
you say that,
Kyoto
Luke, because we all are. The whole VookCast, we're going to do live from the Kyoto Nintendo Museum.
Yeah. And it's also, funnily enough, also live getting arrested. Who would have thought?
it turns out you can't just, like, record a podcast in the middle of a museum.
You ask that. I might ask the question if Nintendo will do that. I'll ask them, hey, you know, we're on a Nintendo-themed podcast. Can you fly us there to do this?
Holy shit, that would be absolutely incredible.
Maybe. I mean, if they're willing to do it, yeah.
They flew a bunch of people to Tokyo to play Everybody Wants to Switch, and, you know, that game just went.
Yeah.
So, who knows?
The influences. Alrighty, so before we get into the games that we're playing, we actually have a fun little giveaway. So you might have seen on Vooks.net, we've been playing with a whole bunch of PDP accessories, and we're giving a ton of them away. So, you know, there's some on the website to give away, there's some available to our patrons, and to you, our VookCast listeners. So all you have to do is go into our Discord, go into the VookCast channel, there'll be a thread there that you can, I think we'll pin it or something, it'll be easy to find, don't worry. And you have to reply to that thread in 25 words or less, telling us what your favourite C-list Nintendo character is. So Michael has a wonderful example here. Michael, what's your favorite C-list Nintendo character, and why?
Oh, yes. So my favorite C-list Nintendo character is the Goomba at the beginning of Super Mario Bros. 1-1 that gets murdered all the time. And why is because I always think of his family every time I stomp him.
So that's the kind of thing that we're looking for. You know, we'll all judge it. We'll all have a fun time reading them and doing it. You know, I'm not going to say that, you know, the funniest one will win. Maybe just the most creative or the most out there pick.
The one Luke we says, like the most.
Yeah, pretty much the one that we like the most. Luke says that Waluigi doesn't count. I'm going to say that he does count, but, you know, you probably won't win if you do Waluigi. So, you know, unless you have a really good story behind it, probably don't pick that one.
If you provide Rule 34 fan fiction as to why Waluigi counts, you'll be immediately disqualified.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the company behind these products is really going to love that one. It's fine. They won't listen to this. But yeah, so yeah, pop over into our Discord. It's bit.ly/booksdiscord, all lowercase. Or you can just click the Discord link from the main website, books.net. And yeah, tell us. We'll announce the winners. I don't know, maybe the next episode, maybe the one after that. At some point in the future, we'll announce the winners, and you'll probably get contacted.
All the details will be in the Discord message.
Yeah. Let's talk about the games that we're playing, because there's a lot of them and we haven't done this in a while because we keep running over time. So Luke, tell us about the games that you've been playing.
Yeah, I mean, I played more Starfield, been playing some Splinter Cell Blacklist on stream, nearly to the end of that one, which is good because I'm getting busy with other reviews. Finished playing through the Crew Motorfest over the weekend, and been playing some Gunbrella. Been playing other things too, but they're all embargoed, which is the fun time of this year. Fun time of year. There we go.
Michael, tell us what you've been playing.
I've been playing a little bit of a lot of games because I got some new computer hardware recently, so I've just been like testing a million things. So I played a little bit of Control because that's one of the games I wanted to play for a long time, and it looks beautiful on my new hardware. I played a little bit of Dungeons of Dreadrock, not reliant on my hardware at all. It's just a cool game. I was playing through some Quake 2 RTX, just observing the ray trace glory that is Quake 2. Looks absolutely beautiful. But also, I went back to play a game called Dusk. It's one of the build engine games, like new games that came out a while ago. And it's just, if you love those old school, like 90s, like FPS games, it's just dumb fun. Dual shotguns.
Boomer shooters.
Yeah, boomer shooters. Yeah, super, super fun. So just playing a whole lot of like random stuff. Playing a little bit more of Sea of Stars on Xbox. I'd have put Baldur's Gate 3 on pause for a while I get through my busy work period. But yeah, that's me.
Nice. Tell us about Overwatch, Michael, because there's been some development on that front, haven't there?
Yeah. Yes, I forgot about this completely. So, in a cruel twist of fate, the new graphics card that I purchased, you know how, like, so everyone listening, you know how graphics cards constantly come with, like, a promo, so you buy a graphics card, get free X or whatever it is? It just so happens to be that my graphics card that I purchased came with a free Overwatch Battle Pass, which also comes with a free Overwatch single-player content. So now I'm in this really cursed position of not having to pay for any of the content that I have completely ragged on. I'm so tempted to play it, and I hate myself. I've not done it yet, but the compulsion is there.
We look forward to, in like 2 episodes, you telling us that you actually love Overwatch 2 now, and it's your favorite game.
I got an Overwatch survey. I got a survey from Blizzard the other day, which I said that I played Overwatch, and they immediately just railed on that one game and legitimately asked me probably like 150 questions around Overwatch and Overwatch 2. And boy, did I go to town. So they have my feedback now.
All right, I'm sure they've been listening to your feedback in the podcast as well.
Of course.
Because I am a video game journalist as my job, have been playing so many games. Just so many. So I've been playing Jack Jean, which is a Switch exclusive visual novel game. It's currently one of the highest rated Switch games on Metacritic. because the people who play visual novels are really into them. And it's really good. It's got like some rhythm elements and yeah, just a very interesting kind of game.
Right.
I've also been... Yeah, go on.
No, so I was saying that sounds rad.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think it tells a really lovely story and yeah, it's all about a girl who wanted to become a performing artist and couldn't get into any of the performing artists for girls, and suddenly the principal of an all-boys performing school comes up and says, hey, we've got a place for you because we think you're actually really good, but you have to pretend to be a boy. So you have to sort of like manage all that and make sure nobody finds out and stuff.
The good old Victor Victoria scenario.
there was a movie with Amanda What's-Her-Face did that, but it was for soccer.
Yeah, it's...
There's a lot of stories that riff on that one idea.
Yeah. Yeah. She's the Man that you're thinking.
That's the one. She's the Man.
Yeah. It was a good movie.
Also, if anyone's a musical fan that hasn't seen Victor Victoria, it's fantastic. Please watch it.
It is. yeah, I've also played a little bit of The Crew Motorfest. It's all right. It's more The Crew. I think like moving to like a smaller, more focused world was like a huge bump in quality for them, because The Crew 2 was just, it felt like a big empty space with nothing to do in it.
That's because it was a big empty space with nothing to do in it. Yeah. Just like the first one, because they used the same map.
Yeah.
Is it more Crew or more Murderfest?
It's more Murderfest.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would have to ask you, Ollie, the game has an AI system they call Kara, you know, because cars.
Yeah.
Which I would have gone with Karai, because car but with a K and then AI at the end of it, just because, you know, I'm funny like that. Does that Kara annoy the hell out of you? Because I had to turn the voice work off.
Yeah, no, I was like maybe like an hour into the game and I was like, I can't take this. I need to turn this off because it's so annoying literally all the time.
Does not shut up. And literally I'm going to do this race, and then for the whole drive to the venue, to the starting point, she just keeps yammering on and on and on and on and on.
Yeah. Anyway, if you liked Forza Horizon and want a slightly less good version of that, The Crew Motorfest is there.
You can't play Motorfest and not think Forza Horizon.
It's very clearly designed to be kind of like that.
Yeah.
I played a bit of Lies of P. Surprisingly fun game. So a lot of people are like, oh, it's just a ripoff of Bloodborne, but I don't know. I didn't play much Bloodborne. I think Lies of P is really solid. It's like a Souls game that I can actually play, which is like rare because I have like problems with my wrists. And this is like, well, there's three different like combat styles, and like you can just like dodge and then you don't take damage. But yeah, I like that. I think they should have kept the Old Puppets Are Bastards thing in there, but, you know, you win some and you lose some. I played a very early access version of a game called Jusson, which is by Don't Nod. It is Don't Nod are the people who did...
They did Life is Strange, the first one.
Life is Strange, yeah.
And they did something recently, too.
Yeah, they've done a few things.
They've been pumping things out lately.
Yeah. Anyway, Jusant is a climbing game, ostensibly. It's really, really beautiful. The mechanics are, like, really solid for a game that's, like, still quite early on. I've been playing a game called Legend of Nyuta, which is a spin-off of a spin-off of the Trails of Cold Steel series. So there's, like, the Legend of Heroes, and then there's Trails of Cold Steel, and then there's, like, another sub-series, and that's where Legend of Nyuta lives. It's a really solid game. It came out on the PSP. This is like an enhanced port of it. Quite good. I played the Pokemon DLC. It's this Pokemon. I've been playing a bit of Sea of Stars, but I can't get the timing down for attacks, so I'm just like, oh, this is annoying me. So
look, it's really tight. I agree with you. It's super tight.
I'm like genuinely like, how can I get like a long enough like cable for my Xbox controller so I can like have a wired controller that might reduce the latency.
Same folks that made the Messenger game, and that was required some very precise inputs, so it doesn't surprise me.
It is a beautiful game though, like goddamn, they nailed it. Are you playing on Switch or something on Xbox?
Xbox, yeah.
On Game Pass, yeah, it's lovely on Xbox. I assume it's lovely on Switch. I don't think it'll have any issues with it.
It's rock solid on Switch. I just didn't want to pay for it because it's quite expensive.
Fair. Yeah, it's free on Game Free, quote unquote, on Game Pass, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Just today, I picked up Final Fantasy Origins Stranger of Paradise because I'm a slut for Final Fantasy. And it's like, I don't know, I've played all the Final Fantasy games and I was like, well, this is like a weird, wacky, like, puts on fucking modern music in his earpods, so why not? The Demon Slayer, I'm not even going to try to say the subtitle, but the Demon Slayer fighting game from Cyber Connect 2.
Are you going to play the Demon Slayer Mario Party clone next to you when that comes to Switch?
I am, yeah. I've already put my name down for a code.
I will say that Sea of Stars, I forgot to mention this, the composer for Sea of Stars, or one of the two composers, is the same guy who did Chrono Trigger and Xenoblade Chronicles.
Yeah, you can tell.
It's really good. And there was something else that I was going to mention. There's so much.
I think you need to stop gaming.
I know, it's terrible.
I understand that it's literally your job, but holy shit.
It is a first world problem, though, having like too many games to play.
There was something else. I can't remember what it was. Something maybe on PC. I don't know. There's something in there. I play lots of games. I'll probably remember it like as soon as we're finished, so... Yeah. But yeah, lots of games. Lots of good games, too. Which is good, because when it's your job, you don't want to play bad games, because... Boy. I don't know. I think Luke will agree that, like, writing about a bad game is so much easier than writing about a good game, because you have so much more content to talk about.
The worst thing is, when it's a good game, you don't want to spoil anything. You want to make sure that people...
Yeah.
You draw them in to say, this is why you should care, but you don't want to say anything about the game and spoil things, because sometimes just the discovery. Yeah, but when it's a bad game, you're like, this game sucks, and you know, and you just off you go. So
just so many games. Play them, I guess. I don't know. Let's move on to 20 questions.
I definitely didn't forget about it at all and pick one last minute while we were talking pre-show, and definitely no one sent me anything, so I've chosen the game. Hopefully it's not bad. Anyway, let's go.
I'm just getting up my Tally app and then sitting through the ad for my Tally app.
I can start. This is a video game. I'm kidding.
I'll do the usual. For some reason, this always lands with me when Angelo's not here. So we're doing the usual one extra question for one less person. So you have 21 questions.
Sure. All right. Was this game released on or after the 1st of January 2000?
Yes, it was.
Okay, was this game released on or after the 1st of January 2010?
It was not.
Okay.
Was this game released on a disc-based console?
This game was released on a disc-based console.
Okay, so it's either GameCube or Wii.
Right? Wii.
We could just narrow it down entirely. It has to be one of those two, so... Alright, was this game released on the GameCube originally?
This game was not released on the GameCube, surprisingly, for me.
Okay. We've either picked a really, really hard one because there's like 9 billion Wii games, or it's a really, really easy one and we won't get it because we're thinking it's going to be a hard one. Alright, was this game published by Nintendo?
This game was not published by Nintendo.
Okay, is this a licensed game?
No, this game is not a licensed game. If it is, I'm sorry. I'm 99% sure it's not.
Was this game developed in North America?
No, it was not developed in North America.
Okay. Tough one. Does this game prominently feature motion controls?
Game does prominently feature motion controls.
Okay.
For some reason, I'm thinking Elobits.
Elobits is a good one. I feel like we've already done it, but I don't know.
No, we haven't done it. Was this game developed in Japan?
Game was developed in Japan.
Do Pelican Pan with motion controls. Oh god. Was this game developed by Capcom?
Game was developed by Capcom.
Because I'm thinking either Zack and Wiki or Okami.
Okami is a good one.
Is this game part of a series?
This game is not part of a series.
Okay.
Wait until I furiously fact check myself.
Because it was a DS game for Okami. Okami Den. People always seem to forget. Oh, you said no. If you turn around and says yes now.
No, it definitely isn't. I'm sad we haven't seen more of this game.
Okay.
I mean, Zack and Wiki's in floating around in my head. I'm trying to think about other obscure Capcom games on the Wii.
I don't think of any Capcom games on the Wii that aren't like.
I mean, Monster Hunter was there, but obviously part of a series. Resident Evil was there, but part of a series.
I was going to say Beautiful Joe, but that definitely has sequels.
I don't even think that got a GameCube release. I think it was two GameCubes and a DS.
Got a Wii release, you mean?
Yeah. Isn't that what I said?
No, I said a GameCube release.
No, I said I'm pretty sure they got two GameCubes and a...
Yeah, you DS. Said yeah, I don't think it got a GameCube release. It got two games on GameCube and DS.
Oh.
To
be fair, it's almost 11:30 at night.
It sure is.
Does this game feature pirates in any way?
This game does feature pirates.
I didn't make some random obscure One Piece. Yeah, it's fine because that's licensed.
And part of a series.
Wow. Just trying to think. I
ignorance on One Piece last. Was it last? No, I can't remember what podcast I talked about it. So maybe I'm just an idiot and don't know.
No, it's definitely been more than one One Piece game.
So many.
Yeah. Surprisingly, people love the GameCube game, One Piece Adventure. That one,
yeah,
people seem to really love.
It's decent.
Not
relevant, but decent.
Yeah, not relevant at all to the discussion at hand.
Plenty of questions left. You have 9 or 8 questions, I guess.
I
have to think it's Zack and Wiki, the quest for Barbarossa's treasure.
Yeah, I don't know enough about that to...
Is this game considered a modern take on point and click?
Yeah, I would say it is, yes.
Yeah. Gotta be Zack and Wiki.
It has
then.
To be that, right?
Well, hang on. Let me just think if there's any other random, obscure, point and click esque games that were developed in Japan. Because there was the Monkey Island games on the Wii. Yeah, I can't think of anything other than Zack and Wiki. Yeah, no, it has to be that. I literally can't think of any other games.
Yeah, and I mean, I got nothing, so. Let's see if you can narrow it down even more, I guess.
Does one of the characters in this game share a name with Wikipedia?
One of these characters in this game does not share a name with Wikipedia. Oh, is what I would say if I was lying.
Okay.
To be fair, there are two characters in the game, and one of them doesn't share a name with Wikipedia. So I realized as you were answering, I'm like, man, I asked that poorly. I'm happy to just throw out that game and. If it is, and if it's not, oh well.
Well, we find out there was like some weird, like, you know, Wiki Friends or whatever, right?
Like, Wiki Friends Pirate Adventure.
Yeah. Yeah, may as well go for it.
Yeah, I know a lot about it, but it's like...
I mean, the meta question's on the table. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, sure. Let's go for the meta question. Have we mentioned this game?
Yes, you have mentioned Wiki and Friends Pirate Adventure.
All right, it has to be that. Is this game Zack and Wiki: The Quest for Barbarossa's Treasure?
Okay. So, developed and published by Capcom, releasing on Nintendo Wii on February 21st, 2008 in Australia, 2007 in North America and Japan, this wonderful puzzle adventure game follows the human Zack, with his best friend and golden monkeys. Oh my god, Wiki, my brain just like is turning off. I cannot even read the words I've written down. As they travel the world, finding the missing pieces of the infamous pirate captain Barbaros. This is, of course, Zack and Wiki, The Quest for Barbaros's Treasure. Well done. Thought I'd slam down a cheeky easy one because we were down one this week. And maybe I made it slightly too easy.
To be honest, I think about that game quite often. I think about that game.
It's a great game.
More often than the Roman Empire, so.
Oh, goodness me. I mean, it's a good pick. Because if it was just me, I would have been, like, screwed. So, yeah.
I love it. I think it's a fantastic game. Like, I would love to have some type of sequel. But also, like, it relies so much on motion controls.
Yeah.
And, like, you would not want to do that without some type of accurate motion control stuff.
Yeah.
Switch just is not there. Also, just want to point out, before we end the episode, Sora is also getting an amiibo, so just wanted to point that out. Sora,
if anyone's watching the video, right here, I've had the Sora amiibo figure sitting on the screen the entire time, because I know Ollie's a bit of a fan.
Although you're going to be like a classic YouTube, right here, I put a little box, and you can pre-order it at my affiliate link.
I mean, we have an affiliate link for Vooks, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's probably somewhere on the website. Is I don't know.
We
maybe.
we have the big pre-order guide for like all the stuff that was announced and dated from the direct. Yeah. So it's in there.
I'll chuck that link into the show notes.
Well, if Daniel does it, below me, down in the doobly doo, there's an affiliate link to pre-purchase the Sora Amiibo. There you go.
Goodness me. Alrighty, that about wraps up this week's Vookcast. Be sure to visit the site www.vooks.net for all your Nintendo news, reviews, and everything in between. To keep up to date, follow the site on Twitter if it's still around, at vooks.net, which is all spelled out. They're trying to make us pay for it. Nobody's going to pay for it. Or jump on over to our Discord at bit.ly/vooksdiscord, where you can also enter our competition to win a headset and a controller. So, fun. You can find all of our social information, links to all the stories covered in this episode, in the episode notes on whatever platform you're listening to, and maybe an affiliate link to buy a Sora. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. Nobody's going to remember that we said this, so... You know. We'll see what happens. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next fortnight.